Brethren, let's go to Exodus 13. Now, most of what we read in our text, we've read and I've preached on in chapters before this. A good deal of what we've read, I've preached on before this. And our tendency is, when we come to a passage that's repeated, our tendency is to say, well, I've already read that, so I'll just skip over it. But remember this, God repeats it because it's of utmost importance. There's nothing in this book that's just in there to fill up pages. It's there because it's of utmost importance. Our text today concerns the sanctification of God's elect by God. That's the purpose. Sanctification is of God. Apart from man's works, in and through the redemption by Christ the Lamb. It's all of God. Not of us. That's the only way that we can glory only in the Lord. It's all of God. Just as our justification is all of God, so our sanctification. We glory only in the Lord. Our message is that the sanctification of every one of God's children is by the works of God, apart from our works, through Christ the Lamb, through the Spirit of God. Now, Exodus 13:1 begins this way. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Now, you see who started this. The Lord said. The Lord Jehovah said this. And He said this to Moses. Moses here is God's prophet and mediator. He's working as a mediator between God and His people in Israel. But he's a picture of that prophet that's like Moses that was to come. That prophet that has now come and has risen to God's right hand, who is the head of the church, who fills all in all His people. Picture of Christ Jesus our Lord, that one mediator between God and men. Christ is preeminently Himself the firstborn Son of God. He is preeminently the firstborn Son of God. He's the firstborn of a virgin. He's truly the first one to ever open the matrix, to open the womb. He's the first one. He's the firstborn Son of God. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And in Christ, all His people are the church of the firstborn. We're all firstborn children in Christ the firstborn. That's how we were sanctified in eternity. God chose us in Christ. And Christ came forth and we were in Him in everything Christ accomplished. Our head did it, and so we did it in our head, Christ Jesus. But why, when told to sanctify the firstborn, when God told Moses to sanctify the firstborn, why did Moses begin by giving and declaring God's word concerning the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Why did he start there? It's because sanctification is through the preaching of the gospel of Christ crucified, the hearing of faith, by which we're continually reminded that God delivered us apart from any contribution we make. That's how God sanctifies His people. That's how He continues to keep us sanctified in Christ, is through the continual remembrance, through the preaching of the gospel, the continual remembrance of all the works that He accomplished for us apart from any contribution by us. Now, first of all, sanctification is through the hearing of faith. And when I say the hearing of faith, I mean the hearing of Christ's faith. Look here in Exodus 13:1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Verse 3 begins, and Moses said unto the people. The Lord spoke this to Moses, and He sent Moses, and Moses went to the people, and he declared God's word to the people. But here's what he declared. Remember this day. Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. That's what he's saying. Remember, remember, you were just a slave. You were in bondage. The Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. God commanded Moses to sanctify the firstborn. And the way Moses began sanctifying the firstborn was to go and declare the word of God, putting the people in remembrance that their deliverance was by God, by His strong hand. That's He went preaching the truth unto them, and that's how God sanctifies His people, through the hearing of Christ's faithfulness. Go with me now to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. The Galatians were being bewitched by Judaizers who would concede a little bit that justification is by Christ, but now sanctification, you got to go back to the law. You have to go back to the law for that. That's a co-effort between you and God. That's a lie. Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you? That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. How was Christ and Him crucified set forth among them? He tells us in the next verse, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Were you born again by the Spirit of God by hearing about the works of man or through hearing about Christ's works? Which one? Which one was it? Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Is this work going to be carried on and brought to its end by your hand? You're going to return to the law of Moses now? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Watch this next question. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Scripture tells us, Christ prays the Father, and the Father gives the Holy Spirit, by which we're sanctified, given a new heart, and sanctified. And he asks, does he do that through the preaching of man's works, or through the hearing of God's faithful works? Which one? Which one? Look at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. 430 years before the law was given at Mount Sinai, God sanctified Moses through the hearing of Christ's faithfulness. That's what he heard. He heard the gospel. Look at verse 8. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And Abraham believed God. By the Spirit, sanctifying him, giving him a new heart, he believed God. He didn't have the law. That wasn't being preached to him. The gospel was being preached to him. In thee, in thy seed, in Christ Jesus, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And God sanctified him in the heart and gave him a new heart. The only way God's people experience the free justification of God in Christ is by God sanctifying us by ministering to us the Holy Spirit. And by this, you're sanctified through faith that is in Christ. Through this, our souls are purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. God only sanctifies through the hearing of faith. That's the only way. We're going to have to hear Christ and Him crucified declared. Now, if that's how he begins this work, are we going to be so foolish as to go back to the law and start preaching man's works now? We're going to start preaching man's morality now and think God's going to bless that work and work that in the heart of his people? Just a few pages before this, Paul said, we know we're justified by through the faith of Christ, therefore have we believed in Christ that we might be justified by the faithfulness of Christ. He said, but if while I say that I'm justified by Christ, I am found a sinner, did Christ minister that? Did Christ work that in me? What was the sin he was talking about? Peter tried to sanctify himself. Peter got up and left one table, went over to another table and separated himself. Paul said, God forbid, Christ didn't have a thing to do with that. He didn't work that. He did not work that. He ministers the Spirit through the hearing of Christ and Him crucified. And when He ministers the Spirit, He brings you to His feet. Makes you know you've been separated. You've been consecrated to God. You've been called out, made holy. So that you stop trying to sanctify yourself. That's the paradox of what sanctification really is. When a man's sanctified, he quits trying to sanctify himself. But not until then. So God continues this work through the hearing of faith. Now secondly, back in our text. The purpose for preaching the faith of Christ is to keep us in remembrance that we're saved by God's works. That's the purpose of the hearing of faith, is to keep us always remembering we're saved by God's works. Now look here, Exodus 13:3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. The gospel, just like the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, just like this Passover was, this Feast of Unleavened Bread, the gospel and the Lord's table, they're to keep us always remembering that Christ is our righteousness and Christ is our sanctification. Peter said, I will not cease to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them and you are established in the present truth. I won't cease to preach and bring you into remembrance that all these works are performed by our Lord. We're constantly reminded, brethren, through the gospel, through the Lord's table, just like they were through that Passover ordinance. We're constantly reminded that it was by strength of hand that God brought us out from where we were. He delivered us out. The whole of Israel's deliverance was the work of God alone. It was the Lord God who brought them out of Egypt and the Lord God who brought them into Canaan. And so it is with us, brethren. Every step in our salvation, beginning to end, is of the Lord. That's why it says salvation is of the Lord. The strength of God's hand was in the lamb that God provided to die in place of the firstborn. It typified Christ Jesus, our firstborn. He is the arm of God. He's the strong hand of God, Christ the Lamb. God the Father sent Christ His Son to sanctify all His people. And Christ does it through the word of truth. He does it through the gospel which declares Christ is our righteousness. He's our justification. He's our sanctification. Go with me to John 17 and verse 17. John 17:17. Christ prayed to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. John 17:17. Thy word is truth. What did Moses go declaring to the people? God's word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. When Christ walked this earth, He separated Himself as holy and separate from sinners, so that He was fit and gave Himself as the Lamb of God to bear the justice of God in place of His people. And He did that He might be the truth that His ministers preach. That's what He said there. I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified through the truth. He did what He did that He might be the truth we preach whereby we're going to be sanctified. Go with me to Ephesians 5:25. And who does the sanctifying as we preach this gospel? Christ does it. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. Now watch this. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. See, He's the one who is the sanctifier, and He's our sanctification. Just like He's the justifier, and He's our justification. Now, next time, we're going to concentrate on this next passage. And it's telling us that the sanctification of the firstborn is through the blood of a lamb by which we're redeemed. Go with me to Exodus 13:13. He says there, every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. You know who that ass is a typical of? Let me give you a description of an ass. He won't do what you tell him to do. He'll stiffen up his neck. He'll kick at you. He won't do what you tell him. And if you get too hard with him, he'll sit down on you. He's a picture of you and me by nature. He says here, if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. See, the truth that Christ is and that He worked for His people, sanctifying Himself, giving Himself, laying down His life for His people so that the truth would be preached, that truth is God's justice demanded that either Christ go under His justice and redeem us, or we had to have our necks broken. One of the two. One of the two. We had to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, or we had to have our neck broken. One of the two. Thanks be to God He sent His Son who laid down His life, bearing our sin, bearing our curse, under the fierce wrath of God's justice, and put away the sin of His people forever. Forever. And you see, it's through this truth that we preach, declaring that He's our righteousness, and He's the one now who has the crown rights as our prophet, priest, and king, that He might sanctify us through the washing of water by the Word, that He might be the one to set us apart in regeneration through His blood. And this is the message He's going to use, the truth He's going to use to sanctify us. When this gospel is preached, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, that's when of God Christ is made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's through this truth. It's through this gospel. It's not through the works of man. And that's our third point. The point we just looked at said we got to hear this continually preached so that we remember all the works are of God. And we have to constantly be reminded through the hearing of faith, brethren, that none of the works are of us. We don't contribute. We do not contribute. Exodus 13:3 says, no leaven shall be eaten. Verse 6, 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. Now, God's pretty serious about this thing about no leaven being with them. Why no leaven? What's that picture? Leaven is a type of sin, particularly the sinful fleshly works whereby vain religious men try to to make themselves righteous and holy by their own works. A man's got to be blind not to read the Scripture and see that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. That's exactly what the Judaizers were doing. Except you be circumcised and keep the law, you can't be saved. Peter stood up, he looked those Pharisees in the face, and he said, "Nope, we're going to be saved like these Gentiles that never even had the law. We're going to be set apart by God, giving us a new heart, giving us faith, and bringing us to trust Christ for our righteousness. That's how we're going to be saved. Just like these Gentiles." Don't you know that made those Jews mad? Why? Because all their gospel was is you got to go back and work the works of the law if you want to be perfected before God. Jesus said unto them, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Beware of their doctrine. God made it clear. When he delivered Israel, he made it clear that they didn't contribute any provision for themselves. He did it by delivering them before they had a chance to even make their bread leaven. Go back to Exodus 12:39. Look here. They went up out of Egypt, and they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared any victual. The Lord took them out before they had a chance to even make any provision for themselves. And that's what he does for his people. He takes us out when we can't make any provision for ourselves. That's how he sanctifies. So to keep them remembering that they contribute nothing to this sanctification and this redemption, to keep them remembering that, they were to eat no leavened bread for 7 days during this feast. It's because there is not the slightest work of man mixed with God's works. Not any. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. Well, preacher, I'm proud that I don't sin as much and I keep the law a whole lot more. Stinking, filthy rags. It's dumb. That's what it is. It's dumb. You know why? Because you think it's something. That's why. Not only was Israel forbidden to mix leaven with their offering, none was even allowed to remain in the house. Because there's no place for works in the house of God. Not any place of works in the house of God. So the word from God that Moses preached to them is the message we preach. What did the Lord tell us to go preach? All flesh is grass, and thy God reigneth. That's what Moses preached to them. That's what God was preaching to them through this Passover feast and this Feast of Unleavened Bread. He's preaching the whole work is by the Passover Lamb, Christ Jesus who is to come, and through the unleavened bread he's teaching them, and you don't have a thing to do with it. That's our gospel. And like as God gave them this feast, today we're going to partake of a feast Christ has given us. We're partaking of this feast through the gospel. And we're going to partake of the Lord's table doing what? Remembering Christ. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, fourthly, not only is the Lord's table pictured in these feasts, they portray the whole, complete, perfect state of grace enjoyed by every sanctified soul as we partake of this gospel feast throughout our lives. That this feast portrays, them constantly partaking of this feast, portrays how those that God sanctifies continually partake of the feast of the gospel all our lives. Look here in Exodus 13:8. "Thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt." They were to declare the truth that it was God who delivered them. They were to declare this to their sons in every generation. just like you and I preach this gospel in every generation. This is the gospel. It never changes. The message never changes. It was God who redeemed us out. It's God who sanctified us. This is our message. And they preached it continually that they might remember salvation is of the Lord. But by constantly being put in remembrance, brethren, that our sanctification and our justification is of God, by being constantly reminded of this message, this is the message through which Christ is formed in the heart, and He rules our heart. Christ Himself rules the heart of His people. Moses in the law does not. No man does. No preacher does. No laws and rules and regulation of churches do. Christ rules the hearts of His people. And He does it in love. In love. Now, look at this. Exodus 13:9. This is what we see here. Because He rules our hearts in love, we live by faith. Look at this. It shall be for a sign unto thee, Exodus 13:9, this ordinance. It'll be a sign for thee upon thine hand, for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. Now remember, the law at Mount Sinai has not been given yet. The law at Mount Sinai has not been given yet. The word law here is referring to the gospel of God's works. The word law here is referring to what He said there. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought you out. That's what I want to be in your mouth. God brought you out. That's what I want to be guiding your hand. And so by the gospel, the rule of every sanctified child of God, the rule that we're under, brethren, that constrains us continually, is not the law of Mount Sinai. No, sir. It's not the law of Mount Sinai. It's the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ crucified. Think of what you're saying if you say, no, I don't believe that. I think the law of Moses is our rule of life. Aren't you saying exactly what the Pharisees said every time Christ preached this to them? I'm giving Christ all the glory. You must want some if you don't like this. Isn't that right? The gospel constrains our hands to do all by the love of Christ who gave Himself for us. Is that not true? Faith which worketh by love. By the love of Christ constraining us by who gave Himself for it. That's why with our hand we do everything we do. The gospel constrains our eyes to look only to Christ and to show mercy and forgiveness to others. The gospel's in our hearts from which our mouths speak the gospel to our children and to everybody continually. And this gospel by which we're constrained is with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. And you know the Pharisees. God didn't give them the Spirit. He didn't sanctify them. They couldn't hear this. You know what they did with that verse? They made those little boxes they carried around on their forehead and on their in their phylacteries and all that, remembering God's command. They did something natural that could be seen outwardly because that's all their religion was outward in the flesh. Has God given you the Spirit to understand this is talking about the gospel of Christ that constrains us? That's who constrains us. And He does it through the gospel. Go with me to Galatians 3:10. Again, I should have told you to hold your place there. But after Paul said that about the about them not being continue to be sanctified by the hearing of works, but by the hearing of faith, look what he says in Galatians 3:10. This is why he's warning them, brethren. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Can you keep all the law of God? Honestly, you and me as believers, can we keep all the law of God by ourselves, by us trying to keep it? I mean now, as God says, keep it. I mean, if somebody disobeys, we got to kill them. Because that's what God's law says. We got to drop them dead because God's law demands it. Are we going to keep that? And if a man says it's not that strict, God's law is not brought down in any regard, period. You're going to have to keep it perfectly. And if you can't, you're under the curse. That's fact. Now look. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Preacher, he's talking about justification. But remember, you can't experience God's justification until you've been sanctified in the heart and made to live by faith. You can't experience it. He's talking to them about both throughout here. We begin our lives, once we're sanctified, we begin living our lives by faith, not by the compulsion of law and restraint. Go back, look at Galatians 3:11. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. I don't know how in any way else you can make that say something that it don't say. I don't know how you can twist it to make that not mean what it means. The law is not of faith. Any way you slice it, the law is not of faith. You doing is not faith. Faith is trusting Christ doing. But the man that doeth the law shall live in the law. But here's the good news. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You see what a despising of Christ it is to send sinners back to the law? It's saying that Christ's redemption is not enough. You've got to add something to it. No, you don't. No, you don't. Beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. Look here. He did all that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Here it is, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And through the gospel of Christ, the blessing of Abraham comes on us. God gives us the Spirit that He promised. And by the Holy Spirit, He sanctifies us so that we begin living unto God by faith, ruled by the faithfulness of Christ in our heart. And that's the blessing of Abraham. He was able to live unto God by the gospel apart from the law. He didn't even have it. And that's how we live today. Go back to Galatians 2:19. Paul said, I, through the law, am dead to the law. That means exactly what it says. Through Christ keeping the law for me and dying under it, I'm dead to it. I have already died that I might live now unto God. You see that? The law always has nothing else to say to me. Now I can live unto God. My sin's been dealt with. Now watch this. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what is meant by the just live by faith. Just live our lives by Christ abiding in us by the faithfulness of Christ within us, ruling our heart in spirit, and keeping us ever looking to Him alone. Constantly, continually reminding us that He gave Himself for us. And when God did this for Abraham, and he got this blessing, when God brought the law in, it didn't change that blessing he had. When God brought the law in, he added it because of transgressions to reveal sin and make everybody guilty, shut our mouth. But it didn't change anything he gave to Moses, to Abraham, through the gospel. Christ had given him a new heart and it was abiding in his heart. And he was walking all those days without having the law at Mount Sinai, having Christ himself leading him. and the constraint of his heart that made him honor and glorify the Lord in the things he did is the constraint of Christ's love in his heart. Christ said, he saw my day and he's glad and he believed me. And this is what led him. Christ led him. This is how he leads his people. Look here, and the law didn't change that. I can't read all of it. Go back sometime, read Galatians 3:15 through 8. It tells you that it doesn't change it. But look at verse 18. Here's why it doesn't change it. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. That means this. If any part of our salvation, justification, sanctification, redemption, wisdom, whatever, if any part of our salvation is by law, by our contribution, by our work, then it's no more of God's grace and it's no more of God's promise. But God gave it to Abraham 430 years before the law by free grace, by writing his promise on Abraham's heart, his everlasting covenant on his heart. And it never changes. It never changes. So once God sanctifies us and he's formed Christ in our new heart, he brings us to rest in the blood of Christ, our righteousness, and we go through our whole lives living by the faith of the Son of God ruling our hearts, constrained by his love who gave himself for us. This is why Paul said, purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. Preacher, it doesn't seem like I'm unleavened. It didn't seem like the Corinthians were either. You go read that and all the trouble they had and the sin they were in and all the stuff they were going through. But he said, you are sanctified. You are justified. You are unleavened. How so? For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let us keep this feast looking to Christ, hearing his gospel preached, having Christ ruling in our hearts and constraining us by his love, so that everything we do in our lives, we do it for the furtherance of the gospel, for the honor and glory of God our Savior. And if any Pharisee comes up to me by that and says, so you say it, a man can just break the law, I will reveal my sin, I'm afraid. If that's what you got out of it, you blind as a bat. Either we believe this or we don't. You know who believes it? The man that preaches it. Because you preach this and God, this is all I preach. You'll see evidence? You'll see proof it works? Cast your eyes about. There's nothing making these people come here but this gospel. Christ working in their heart through it. That's it. That's it. Well, you don't have much. All we got is Christ. He's all. And if you got Christ, you got all. What else you need? So how's this gospel feast going in? How's this gospel feast going in? Look back at Exodus 13:6. Exodus 13:6, 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Seven represents perfection. We're going to partake of this gospel feast all our days, remembering what God's done for us in Christ, being kept by his grace continually. And it's going to end one day in a gospel feast unto our Lord Jesus Christ. In the marriage feast of the Lamb. That's how it's going to end. We're going to come to him in that perfect day. And you see there, in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Not a feast to me. Not a feast to me. Not, huh? Well, didn't you get rid of the leaven out of your house? No. He made me do it. It's by His grace, by Him ruling my heart, that He makes you purge out the old leaven. You just try it sometimes. He'll leave you to yourself sometimes, show you that you can't purge it out. You can't put off the old man. And then He comes and puts him off for you. Puts on the new man, show you He's doing that for you too. So when we come to the end of this feast, when we come to the marriage feast of the Lamb, we're not going to be feasting unto us. We're going to be feasting unto Him. Go to Revelation. Revelation 19. We'll end with this. Who are we feasting to right now? Christ. Who are we going to feast to when we partake of the Lord's table? Who are we going to be remembering? Christ. You know who we're going to feast to in that day? Christ. Look here. A voice came out of the throne, verse 5, saying, "Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. Because the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted." This is how she made herself ready. "To her was granted." To her was given. "And she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Get that? Those two words now. The fine linen is the righteousness of all those who are sanctified. It's the righteousness of all those who are sanctified. Who made that fine linen? Who is that fine linen? Christ is. He's our righteousness and our sanctification. "And He said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Next time we'll see that sanctification is wrapped up entirely in our redemption by Christ our Lamb. That's how our sanctification and our justification are so vitally connected that they can't be separated. Christ had to be holy in heart to justify us, for His work to be accepted. And when Christ abides in a sinner, He not only brings us to cast our care on Christ for justification, Christ is the sanctification who turns us from us to Him. And we're going to see they're vitally united in that next passage. And then the passage after that, we'll see God continues to sanctify us by leading us in the way. He didn't take Israel straight to Egypt. He took them a different way. Why? Because it was the best thing for them. That's why. To keep them. All right. All God's saints, if you listen to me now, if you got a problem with the message I just preached, don't partake of this supper. Just don't even do it. Nobody's going to be looking at you. But if all your feasting is to the Lord, that means all your hope, all your wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption is Christ only. Christ commands, "Do this in remembrance of me." That's what he commands. Don't do it looking to you. Don't do it looking to anybody else. "Well, sinner, well, preacher, I got so much sin." Yeah, you do. You don't know how bad it really is either. You got secret sins you don't even know about. What's your acceptance at God's throne? Christ. What's your acceptance to come to this table? Your worthiness to come to this table is Christ. If that's true, come to the table. If not, don't do it. Because you're going to drink abomination to yourself. Not discerning the Lord's body. All right. Brother Kevin and Brother Rob.